right. And let's see here. Tomorrow, November the 20th, we are going to go down to the Grateful Dinner. Those of us who want to, please gather here about 11:15 and have on a First Presbyterian Church, love first, love all, anything you might have. And yes, Catherine. And these are available for free. Oh, wow. Fantastic. So Fellowship Hall, get your free t-shirt and join us for lunch tomorrow. Also, this just in, please bring a can of food for the food bank, I think it is. But this is the only time I'll get to say, drag your cans to lunch. But, all right. And let's see. Yeah, I'm sorry. Just sometimes I just can't help myself. Vicki says that's most times. All right. Join us Sunday the 26th after worship for the hanging of the greens. Who were the greens and what did they do that was so awful? Been wanting to do that one too. Okay. All right, so the hanging of the greens after church, and we need people to help move chairs out of the second floor storage unit so that we can start getting all of the decorations out. And my understanding is we have a whole bunch of new decorations that are going to look wonderful. So if you've got a couple of guys with strong backs, we need you to come and help us to get some chairs moved. We are noticing that the church office will be closed the 23rd and the 24th for the Thanksgiving holiday. So we'll be resuming office hours on Monday the 27th. And let's see, we have a Thanksgiving and Christmas notice as you have parties to go through and go to. You are reminded that we do take up leftover food to go to the City of Refuge. And I think that's all that I have by way of announcements. Do we have anything else? Yes, Alice.
I'd like to say today,
at 9 o'clock. All right. Thank you. Anyone else got anything? Then the peace of Christ be with you. We do have one more announcement. Tomorrow morning at 10, before we go to the Grateful Luncheon, we need people to help move boxes for Christmas. The Christmas decoration storage boxes need to be moved out tomorrow morning at 10.
They missed me up there. I may stay down here every Sunday. Please stand for the call to worship. Come before the Lord with thanksgiving.
Praise his eternal name and sing to the Lord.
Reflect anew upon his kindness and grace.
Remember his strong rescuing arms and his loving kindness.
Praise the Lord, O my people. Let us worship his holy name and let us pray. We are here, O God, bringing our lives, our hopes, and our dreams into your presence. Consider us and guide us in your grace. Accept the gifts we bring and the praise we offer as your beloved children. Declare, shape, and mold us afresh for the tasks of your kingdom. We ask this in the name of Christ, our Lord and brother. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. And together we pray. Eternal God, our days are marked by your grace but we still fall short of your expectations. Our goals and accomplishments do not sing your praise, but rather our pride. Guide us gently to the path of your will, and set our vision upon the horizon of your coming kingdom, that our lives may glorify you and hasten the day of your coming. Through Jesus the Christ. Amen. In a position to condemn. Only Christ. In Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Time.
This year's stewardship theme, Small Church, Large Hearts, reflects what we love most about our church: familiar faces and a loving spirit. We've been members of First Presbyterian Church since 2008, shortly after we moved to Dalton. We continue to attend, even though we moved to Chattanooga for several years. In 2013, we were in the process of moving out of our first home and deciding where we wanted to raise our growing family. We decided to move back to Dalton.
In large part because we wanted to raise our children in this church. When we returned to Dalton, Andrew was only 2. A year later, Hannah was born. And then 3 years later, followed Haynes. Our church family has blessed us and our children with love and support, for which we are so incredibly grateful.
From the birth of our children, we were supported in so many ways by members of our church. You've cared for our children.
And you still do, in nursery and in Sunday school. You've spent time with our children during children's church, helping them grow in their faith and knowledge of God. We've shared countless meals on Sunday.
Dessert of which remains especially popular with our small crew. And of course, there are the times we have shared together in Montreat, a beautiful place with treasured memories of fellowship. We are so glad that Montreat is a part of our children's faith journey. We are not a stagnant or idle church. From the community pantry to so many other community initiatives, our church is there, helping those in our community in greatest need, and we are incredibly proud of our efforts. Our church has so many talented people that enrich our lives and our community. But at the center of our church is a welcomeness and openness
to people from all walks of life. And we are so proud that our children can be part of that and experience that. It's for these reasons and so many more that we support our church, First Presbyterian. And now Andrew and Hannah and Haynes all have a few words that they'd like to say.
Church is important to me because it is worth putting our time and money into church because of the grace of God. Church helps remind me that others may not be as fortunate as me and my family. It also helps me remember that people have sacrificed for me in order to help me succeed. I enjoy coming to church because I get to see many friendly faces greeting each other.
Church is important to me because it is a place where we worship God. Also, it is a place where we can help people in need to help people in need. We can put food in the food pantry. I used my $20 to buy 2 blankets and made them into scarves. Any scarf that is not bought will go to people who really need a scarf.
All right, and so for Haynes's part, we asked him to draw a picture of church. Haynes, can you tell us a little bit about your drawing?
Yeah. I draw the church, and this is where Pastor Ken is. This is the pathway down, and then this is the nursery, and then this is the kitchen, and this is the Sunday school rooms. And this is the elevator, and it also goes all the way down to the very, very bottom level of it.
Thank you, Haynes. We thought Haynes would draw a picture of the outside of the building, but he decided to draw a floor plan. So
even a 5-year-old knows that it's what's inside that matters the most.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. Listen for God's word. Moses convened all Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances that I am addressing to you today. You shall learn them and observe them diligently. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. Not with our ancestors did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain out of the fire. At that time, I was standing between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And he said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, so that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, neither shall you commit adultery. Neither shall you steal, neither shall you bear false witness against your neighbor, neither shall you covet your neighbor's wife, neither shall you desire your neighbor's house or field or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These words the Lord spoke with a loud voice to your whole assembly at the mountain, out of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness, and he added no more. He wrote them on 2 stone tablets and gave them to me.
Our second scripture lesson this morning is taken from the 100th Psalm. Did I do something wrong? Oh, just saw everybody getting up there. Are y'all going to sing now? No, after me. Okay. Read. Oh, I don't have my stage notes. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the Lord. You're not going to do it, are you? Nope. You're just too Presbyterian. That's all right. I was a Baptist for a number of years. I was amen there. Well, our gospel lesson for today is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke, reading from the 7th chapter, verses 2 through 10. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He's worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority with soldiers unto me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him and turned to the crowd following him. He said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Your goodness, O Lord, eclipses our highest hopes and our fondest dreams. You are beyond our imagining. And so accept, we pray, the gratitude we have for this, your holy word. May we understand it and may we follow. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, we got three very familiar passages in our scripture lessons for today. The first one, the giving of the law to the Hebrews. One of the formative things in their history. And the Lord commanded them to keep these things and consider these things. And may it be diligently followed all the days of your lives and all the days of your children's lives. And just to keep them from forgetting, the Lord wrote it down on two stone tablets. First instance we know of a post-it note. I'm sorry. I'm kind of batting zero today, aren't I? Well, but there it was, the formative moment of the Judeo-Christian faith when the code was handed down on Mount Horeb. And it has been one of the great traditions throughout human history that God was good enough to give us the way in which we worship God and the way in which we live with each other. And then we have the 100th Psalm. This one always gets read the Sunday before Thanksgiving. No matter what else is in the lectionary, I just can't get enough of Old 100th. It is a marvelous, marvelous affirmation of our faith to hear again these words which were drummed into me by either on my mother's lap or sometimes across my father's knee. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. That does not resonate with Presbyterians. We are not a particularly joyful people. In fact, we are sometimes referred to, you know us, the frozen chosen. But scripture here says, make a joyful noise. Cut loose a little bit. I have done transgress the law of the Medes and the Persians now. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. He has placed his stamp of manufacturer on us. He has placed his fingerprint on our hearts, and he calls us to love him with what can only be called reckless abandon. Another cause for gratitude. And then we have the gospel lesson for today. The centurion is so humble, he doesn't even want Jesus to come under his roof. Not that he's ashamed of his roof, but he doesn't want Jesus to become ritually impure. And so he sends a delegation of the elders to go and speak with Jesus. And you notice they give him that little disclaimer there. He is worthy for you to do this for him. He built our synagogue. You know, I don't think that there was any quid pro quo here. This centurion, a man of means and a man of wisdom, didn't do things for the Jewish community so that he could be on their good side. My sense is that he was a good man, and he did something out of the goodness of his heart. He did something because he was grateful to this community which had reached out to him. Gratitude in all three of these verses is the key element. Gratitude for God giving the law. Gratitude for God having made us and proclaimed us his own. Gratitude for the goodness of Jesus Christ, who says to the gathered people there, "I haven't found this kind of faith in Israel, a man who could literally ask me to come into his roof refuses to do so because it would make me ritually impure." This time of year, gratitude gets a lot of attention. Every time I go to one of these little country stores, there are two types of signs that are hanging on the walls there: grateful and blessed. I don't know that there's that much difference between the two, do you? To be grateful means to acknowledge the fact that God has created us for his own purposes and called us beloved children and brothers and sisters to each other. Blessed means to have received a gift from God. And because we have received these gifts, God has blessed us beyond all our deserving or all of our, let's just admit it, appreciation. God is the Lord. That has to be the greatest confession of faith we can give. God is the Lord. Anything and everything we have ever done, ever will do, shall ever become, is a gift from God. We are called to respond out of gratitude. I remember when I was a child, got my first lesson in gratitude. I think I was maybe 5, 6. We went over to my grandparents' house, and there the whole family would gather. It'd be 15 or 20 of us all around this big dining room table, and the turkey would be brought in with great ceremony, and grandfather would slice the turkey. But I reached out my hand a little too quickly, and I've still got a little scar here on my finger. Granddaddy didn't mean to slice his grandson, but you know, there's this thing called logical consequences. You stick out your hand too soon, yeah, something bad's gonna happen. And they took that lesson, and while I was standing at the table bleeding, not terribly profusely, but still having learned a lesson with tears in my eyes, my father said to me, "That's what you get for not being grateful." I have always been terrified of the accusation of being ungrateful ever since. Still get a little twinge there every now and again. Being grateful is not just a proper response. Being grateful is the greatest response. Being grateful, as the Hebrews were when they got this code of living, being grateful as the psalmist was when he penned this 100th psalm, being grateful as Jesus was to this centurion who thought well enough of him not to require his presence. And yes, the centurion was grateful too. Let me submit something to you, and that is that gratitude is a mark of our dependence upon God and our dependence upon each other. Gratitude is the emotion that binds us together, I think, as a society. And ingratitude is the one thing that will always divide us. When the day comes that we're not able to say thank you anymore, then I think that the sun will have risen for the last time upon the human race, and perhaps rightly so. I'm grateful for so many things. I'm grateful that I'm here with you, here at what I might call the ebb tide of my career. I have said before, I just wish all my other churches had been as fun as this one is. You can take that to the bank. The check will bounce, but you can take it to the bank. I'm grateful to be your pastor. I'm more grateful to be your friend. It's nice to know that there are good, progressive people in this world who dare to take the gratitude which we owe to Jesus Christ and spread it out beyond these walls. Gratitude that we are here. Gratitude we will be here as long as the sun keeps on rising. Let's be grateful and let's pray together. Eternal God, we do thank you for all the blessings that you shower upon us, so many that we can't even believe it. So many that we can't even conceive it. Fill our lives, we pray, with gratitude to you and to each other. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And together let us declare that which we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let's unite our hearts and minds together in prayer before the Lord. Help us, O Lord, to be a people of gratitude, to be a people who realize that we live in community with you and with each other. Keep us mindful of all the blessings we have received and enable us to be blessings each to the other. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we live in a world which seems to be more and more dangerous, where hatred seems to be the hallmark. Help us to be those who present the alternatives to hatred. Help us in our lives to show forth the love of Jesus Christ. And grant that in many and small ways, we may begin the circle of love to bring your children anew to you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you continue to bless us. Help us to use the blessings you send to benefit those around about us. Give us purpose in our life that is guided by your power and your providence. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, hear us as we dare to pray boldly the prayer which your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, let us receive our tithes and our offerings and our pledge cards as we return them to the Lord.
Thank you.
grateful hearts, O Lord, we show forth our commitment to you and to each other. Bless, we pray, each gift, each pledge, each tithe, each offering. Multiply them by your grace, that your kingdom may be expanded and that our hearts may be strengthened in the giving. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hearts, and to perceive those innumerable blessings which come our way each and every day, and be grateful and celebrate life in all of its richness, in all of its fullness, in all of its love, and in all of its hope. In the name of God the Father who created us, God the Son who came down to be among us, and God the Holy Spirit whose grace is sufficient for us all. Amen. There. Lord, be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide us, hold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Thank you, sir. All right, session meeting. Joy, joy, joy.
All right, let's go.